This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGSN 104.1 FM KMOX. So I want to use this text string that many, if not most, of our big higher up muckety mucks in defense and intelligence and the CIA were on. I'm going to kind of assume you guys know the story. They've been covering it all day on television, but for those of you who have been, you know, in a coma. So Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, I think I'm smarter than, and that doesn't make me happy. It makes me scared. And Radcliffe and about 18 others were on Signal, which I'd never heard of. So is it kind of like a WhatsApp or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Supposedly it's secure.
Messaging. Okay. It's a,
yeah. Supposedly secure messaging.
Okay. Like secure from normal people.
Yes.
Right. I saw a security analyst say, like, not really secure from like foreign governments that might want to be like nosy.
It. Yeah. So it's better than like your iMessage.
Yes.
But it's not classified or a skiff. So I'm going to try and be fair about this. Worst case is that these numbskulls were talking to each other about a military strike on the Houthis in Yemen, and they were talking about what sort of aircraft and what sort of munitions, and it's going to be at 1:45 p.m., and they mistakenly got Jeff Goldberg on it, who's the editor-in-chief from The Atlantic. And he thought he was being punked. And so he didn't say, like, hey, guys, Jeff Goldberg here. What's going on? He just sat back for a couple of days and watched it happen. And then when they started getting very specific about this is where we're going to hit and when we're going to hit and here's the sequence, that it happened exactly the way they said on the text. And he knew, oh, my God, I was just in on the planning of this military attack. Why were they doing it on Signal? That's not classified. Why did they bring me into this? That's a pretty big mistake to make. And so today, Tulsi Gabbard and Radcliffe happened to be on Capitol Hill for something else, and they got grilled by the Democrats. They got a pass from the Republicans. And here's my first point. Admit it when you screw up. I think that it's best for everyone. I think it's best for you, because then there's no big there's no big Sherlock Holmes thing going on. But if you saw the hearing today, which I saw most of it, or you've seen like Donald Trump's statements, they are trying to say like nothing to see here, no big deal, no classified information. Dude, if it wasn't classified, it should have been, because you planned a military strike that went down exactly the way you said it was going to with a journalist on your text string. This is a screw up. This is a mistake. And Donald Trump even said that Waltz, the national security advisor who put Jeff Goldberg on the chat, had learned his lesson. Well, I've never learned a lesson in my life without making a mistake first. So I think they're being inconsistent. I also think it's a very bad look for an individual or a government to fail to just admit the obvious. I don't expect you to come out and talk to the country and cry and say it's the biggest, you know, failure in intelligence or by the Department of Defense in the history of the country. I don't expect that. But I also don't expect you to gaslight me. I'm so sick of being gaslighted by all administrations, but this one seems particularly into that. Donald Trump, when he was confronted with it yesterday, just went off. I think we have the sound, but no need to play it. The Atlantic, that's just a failing, publication. We've seen that a million times. Hegseth really came out hard against Jeff Goldberg. You know, this guy, he's a conspiracy theorist, and he's a hoaxist, and Russia, Russia, Russia. Dude, I think you're protesting a little much. You included this guy, this citizen, on your text stream about attacking the Houthis. He didn't hack it. He didn't make his way on there. And he's the only one I see with any sort of ethics and love for this country, because he could have released the whole thing. He was under no obligation. He's not an employee of the government. And especially after they said that this was not classified, well, then here you go. Let's just publish. You know, we have the right to see any unclassified information. So I thought that he handled it the right way. I think the administration's handling it a disappointing way. But that's my first point, is just, why is it so hard to just say, yeah, that was a screw up?
They're not allowed to. They won't do it. How is that not a problem for more people?
I don't know.
I don't understand the free pass. I understand liking someone better than someone else. I don't understand giving anyone a free pass.
Yeah.
Because you can damn well bet that if that happened under the Biden administration, these same people that are saying it's no big deal would have been losing their minds. And rightfully losing their minds.
Yes.
This is a fireable offense.
Yes.
Including a civilian in military attack plans in advance of the attack? Are you kidding me? And by the way, using an app that in the past the Pentagon has said, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't use that app for secure communications, because it's not secure. It might be from like your typical, hackers or people want to do. It's not necessarily secure from government level bad intentions, Russia, China, places like that. So you're already being a little bit, what would you say, reckless? I don't know. Maybe that's
negligent.
Maybe that's too strong. But you're already taking your chances.
I don't think reckless is too strong.
And then you're bringing in you. Whose fault is it that you brought that a civilian was brought in?
And who's being blamed? The civilian,
of course. And by the way, it isn't his responsibility to protect the secrecy of those plans. Ultimately, that falls on the big guy, which in this case is Hegseth. You're in charge. You're the Secretary of Defense. It is your job to protect those things. I do understand it, because if they never say they're wrong, then they're never wrong. Because the true believers will be like, they're not wrong. See, they said they're not wrong. But there's some things that are just simple. Like what we saw with Joe Biden.
Yes.
The decline.
Yes.
The problems. It was so obvious
and
so simple.
What you say to me about Joe Biden, I saw with my own eyes.
How many times did those dummies that were around him be like, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's sharp as ever. Fit as a fiddle.
Most active guy in the room.
And we're all like, no, he's not. And we can see it. This is just simple irresponsibility. And if you're not willing to own up to it, then you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. I don't get it. I don't understand how it's not like. I don't care if you're new or not. I would expect to be fired if I did that with corporate communications that weren't supposed to go out. I would expect to be fired.
Yeah.
Something that's not national security, that's not a military operation happening in a hostile area.
You know, I'm not saying there's a cover up here. There's not. There's just a denial. But they say the cover-up is worse than the crime, and I feel that way about this. When I heard the story last night, I was rolling my eyes so hard. I can't believe this. What a bunch of idiots. But had they come out and said, we truly learned a lesson. We thought that this was enough encryption. We had no idea, obviously, that there was the editor of The Atlantic on there. Many mistakes were made. We've learned our lessons. We apologize. The country is safe. You can say that. There's no reason you can't say that. But when you don't, when you gaslight everyone and go off on the newspaper and go off on the editor in chief and say that they didn't do anything wrong, nothing to see here at all, that's scary, because that tells me you're going to lie to me every time. So the next time it's something even bigger, and I need to know where I stand and where my family stands and where my country stands, I know one thing. You will lie to me to the absolute extent that you can get away with it.
Well, that's the thing. If they were to come out and say this is a mistake, they would have to admit that it's a mistake from the very beginning. We have a group text on the show. There are certain things we would not discuss on the group text. I'm just guessing here. There are certain things we'd be like, ah, let's have a meeting. Let's talk about that in person.
Yeah.
Just in case something happens.
And we're just a dumb radio show.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that this was a 18-person group chat and the things they're discussing, I mean, that's, to me, I don't know much about, you know, Homeland Security and all that, but that seems a little crazy to just be like, ah, let's get 18 people in here and chat about it. And by the way, we're not even going to go through and make sure that those 18 people are the right people. Like, from the very first decision that was made about this, it just feels so wrong. There's no defending it. So whenever you're backed into a corner like that, people have figured out that all you have to do is lie and deny and say it's not that big of a deal and say, oh, Jeffrey Goldberg, he shouldn't have had anything to do with this. That guy's a hack. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because most people, if that's what they want to hear, they're going to be like, oh, OK, it's the Russia hoax guy. OK, well, then I don't need to learn anymore. It's the Russia hoax guy. Moving on with my day. Kurt on the stream said, unfortunately, there's no reason to admit wrong. They'll deny and the public will accept it. And unfortunately, that's the truth. People just want to hear what they want to hear.
Half the country will accept any lie they tell, and the other half have Trump derangement syndrome.
Right. And the Trump derangement syndrome thing is really tough because it's hard to be like, no, I'm not deranged when someone calls
right.
you deranged.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Then as soon as you start defending yourself, you seem deranged.
And
it's the classic. Anytime you tell somebody, like, you're just upset about this, and then it's impossible to react to it.
Just
without
to
just
put my
like
money where my mouth is, as a reasonable, fair-minded, down-the-middle, intelligent person, I don't want to see anyone impeached. I don't even want to see Waltz be fired. I think with the evidence against it from this little shenanigan, he seems like a solid, smart guy. I don't need to replace him. I don't even need you to admit it. Just don't lie.
I think not admitting it is lying because you're covering it. You're pretending it didn't happen, which is a form of lying.
But how dare you? How dare you, all of you, including Trump, how dare you gaslight the American people? I know there are things you can't tell us for national security purposes. I get that. But nowhere in the Constitution does it say it's okay to lie to us, to make us feel stupid. When we see, and again, same way with Joe Biden. You know, it's not just a Republican thing. When we watched him melt down on that debate, and then they came back and said, including Kamala, oh, he's the sharpest knife in the drawer. How dare you?
Well, let's personalize this. Let's say we're all on a group text, and one of us adds a person that nobody else knows is there, and they're now seeing everything that everybody says to each other. The jokes that they may not be in on, the things that they don't get that could be misinterpreted or could be taken as something that they're not, and that stuff gets out and gets public, and it puts one of us in a bind. How are we feeling about the person that added that person to our chat?
Yeah, not great.
Is that person going to be in your friend group anymore? Are you going to trust them anymore?
Not like I did before.
So why is it on a human personal level, we totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
And on a business level, if you're in a corporation or you're in a law firm or you work at a mom and pop or whatever, and you've got you got proprietary information that's being passed around and someone brings in an outsider who has no responsibility to your company whatsoever. They could easily just send it all to anybody they want to. Whose fault is that? And we get it on that level, but as soon as it becomes politics,
we can't see past it.
You just can't see like the reality of it.
You're so right, Kev. If this were corporate, everyone at some point has hit reply all by mistake.
Yeah.
Everyone has texted, I text you thinking I'm texting Rach, and I'm complaining about you to you. We've all done some version of this.
For sure, yeah.
And because we've all done it, we all understand it. You know?
Yeah. I don't.
But to Rach's point, the director of national intelligence is on this chat. The director of the CIA is on this chat. As I understand it, there's little bubbles with your initials. Who the F is JG? Shouldn't someone have gone through and said, I don't know who JG is?
Well, if he didn't text, would he even pop up?
It would still show 18 people in the chat.
Right,
you should be able
right.
to tap on that.
And see,
mean,
who,
just
see
like
who they are.
Double check your work. You
yeah.
know, like. Mm-hmm.
This is
no,
why,
he said that he could see his JG on this.
This is why. Right, but if he didn't, they wouldn't, unless they clicked on that group to look at it, they
what's
wouldn't
notice
it.
That's what I'm saying. I would do that. We keep saying this.
Yeah.
I would do that. We have the Dave Glover Show chat. Then we have one that includes Skip. And every now and then, I'll hit that one. We've all done that.
Right, right.
But when I catch myself doing it, now that I've learned my lesson, it's like we're dog cussing Skip. It's just like mundane things he doesn't need to know about the show.
Yeah.
That I now look to make sure. If I can do that, surely the director of the CIA can do that.
Yeah. And why use this app in the first place? Why, if you're talking about these sort of things,
yeah,
I get that you want to congratulate each other. I get that you want to follow along, but it just feels crazy that it was on the Signal app in the first place.
In
fact, there's got to be a more secure form of communication.
I don't know if you saw this, but Hegseth at one point on this chat says, "Hey, by the way, we have OPSEC, operational security, right now." On Signal, with Jeff Goldberg watching. So he's telling them we're in safe harbor when there's a citizen on this chat because of their own negligence. How embarrassing is that? But nothing in comparison to how humiliating it was when Hegseth got off that flight. Do you have that one, Andrew?
Yeah, I've got the Hegseth one.
Can you play that
right
one?
Right here.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Right,
thank
it.
You.
That's
appreciate
it.
It.
That's it.
So that's not the one I was looking for, the one where he was going off on him for being a hack and a hoaxer. Mm. But anyway, okay, Pete, I'm not a part of the Department of Defense. I've never served a day in my life, but I do know from Goldberg that you talked about who you're going to hit, what aircraft you're going to use, what munitions you're going to use, what time you're going to hit them. You talked about human targets on the ground that were going to be hit by human assets. I'm no expert, but that sounds like war planning to me, especially when it happened a couple days later. I don't know. I'm just all bent out of shape for the gaslighting.
Yeah, that's a good
it.
Point. Yeah.
I wouldn't even have talked about this today. I wouldn't even have brought it up on the show had they just said, mistake was made. We're going to make sure that never happens again.
We're changing processes.
We're changing processes. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Welcome back, DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX 326. Wheels, you had something about new options at Busch Stadium?
Did you see this? Yeah. So.
No.
Obviously, one of the things they're doing at the ballpark this year is freshening some things up. Game presentation will probably be somewhat noticeably different. I think they're going to change up kind of the sound, some of the sights, but they also changed up some of the food options at Busch Stadium. So there's some local ones now, kind of like what they did at City Park.
City.
So you have some more of that. So things like crumble cookies are going to be there at the ballpark. But one of our favorites, mayo ketchup.
Oh, awesome.
It's going to be at the ballpark, which is
very
phenomenal.
Cool.
You guys ever hear of international wok?
No.
No. I don't think so.
Well, it's going to have Asian food, and it's going to be a pretty big deal apparently there. And then
nice.
You got a place with specialty hot dogs. But like, how much does that stuff draw you guys? Because that's, to me, like, this is why I wanted to get into it, because I love that idea.
Yeah.
Ballparks all over the country are doing it. City Park did a great job with the food presentation and all of that.
Yeah.
How much of that is a draw to you to maybe go out to the ballpark more than one or two times?
Zero.
I agree.
Zero.
Yeah.
Ooh, see, it's different for me, but I'm a
really?
Much more casual fan than either of you two. So it's like.
So having those options might make you go, maybe that's not a bad afternoon.
You know, game sounds fun, and I get to have mayo ketchup while I watch
it. I think they're doing exactly the right thing.
Yes.
I think that you need to have as many food stands as you possibly can. I think it's great. Dave, personally, doesn't eat Asian food at the ballpark. I'm a dog and a beer guy. Maybe some nachos. I love mayo ketchup, but I'm probably going to be eating it at Mayo Ketchup, not at Busch Stadium. But that's just me. Yeah.
See, but that's something like for us, Dave, and I think it's definitely more of, I think it's more of targeting Andrew and Rachel's age and targeting people that are there more for the social experience. One of the things they're changing at the ballpark, I don't know for sure that it's by opening day, but I know this is kind of in the vision, is more gathering spaces in the ballpark where people are not just going to be in their seats, but you're going to be out like you are in the Budweiser Terrace, or they're going to have more of those in different places.
Smart.
Where people can go out there and treat it like a social event. And I think that it makes sense to provide the game to every group of people the way they want to experience
Amen.
The game, right?
Welcome back, guys. DGS and 104.1 FM KMOX. We have the Think Tank coming up at 4 p.m. We'll revisit, of course, the chat leak and all that kind of stuff and do some local stuff with Steve Ellman and Jeff Rainford. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Is it me or is it weird that we're playing the Twins for opening day?
Yeah. I'm not used to playing every team. I'm still stuck in just playing your division pretty much. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an old too.
Yeah,
I'm an old.
I like it. I mean, like it's cool, you know. See the Twins and the Yankees come in. It's fun.
Yeah, and they
just
not only
back awful memories of the World Series.
Not only do they do that, but now you know it's. I mean, the schedule is balanced, so you don't even play your division more than you play other people. Like you'll play them more than you'll play the other league.
Yeah,
but like you won't get to face the Pirates 19 or 20 times like you used to. It's down to like 14 or 15. So
what is the point of divisions then?
Well, I mean, it just gives you something to win compared to teams that are geographically similar. It's mostly about generating rivalries, to be honest with you. I mean, that's basically what it's about. But because of the wild cards being expanded, they don't want teams in weaker divisions to have big advantages over teams that are in stronger divisions. So now it's going to be basically you're all playing the same schedule.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
How are we looking for opening day, Dave?
Okay. Not great, but okay. Let's just lead up to that. Tomorrow's gorgeous.
Nice.
Move the game to tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sunny sky's 66. Opening day is partly sunny. Kind of a changeable sky, but partly sunny. It's breezy, but there will be scattered showers and a couple of non-severe thunderstorms around. It's not raining all the time. There's a warm front kind of edging up and over us. Yeah, because the game is a little later than kind of a normal afternoon game, that's a bit of a concern, needs to be watched. I think we'll get the game in, but I also think there could be some delays here and there. That always is a question with opening day, how they handle that, especially with an open day on Friday. 72 on Thursday. Friday, partly sunny. It's a little breezy. It's warm, 80 degrees on Friday. And then back to more unsettled weather Saturday and Sunday with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Been a lot of hype over the last couple of days about Armageddon coming over the weekend. You know me. I'm not going down that road yet. So the scenario is nothing like we had on that Friday. It's just something we need to watch. It's Tuesday afternoon. Come on, folks, get a grip.
Take it easy. There you go. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. We have another crazy story about a flight. This one's United Airlines. A flight from LAX bound for China had to turn around after the pilot forgot their passports.
That's really weird.
It's
really weird.
How frustrating would this be? The flight had 257 passengers and 13 crew members. They departed from Los Angeles but were diverted to San Francisco. The pilot's passport oversight necessitated the return to California, where they got a new crew assigned to take the passengers to China. The delayed flight eventually departed 6 hours behind schedule on Saturday morning.
What? Like, I'm not on the plane, but my anger is flashing. Like, what should be the penalty? Not like for real, just like in your brain, what should be the penalty for the pilot?
The pilot should have to shake hands with everyone on the flight, and everyone should be allowed to tell him he's a real jerk today.
Okay.
I think the company should have to cover his ass. Yeah, you need to pay. Everybody's flight needs to be free.
Ooh. Yeah.
You should be able to nominate one passenger on behalf of everyone. Just one firm smack.
On his bare butt?
On his bare butt.
I'm not quite sure how that even happens. You would think that would be on a checklist way before they're in the cockpit.
I would be like bargaining because I would be like, can't you can't you just let them? They're pilots. Like, they're not even getting off the plane. Can't you just let them?
Have you not seen any action movies where people fake those things and they cause a problem? You gotta, you know, you gotta cover that.
I didn't think about if they were international assassins.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying.
They also not to nitpick, I'm pretty sure they would get off the plane at some point. I don't think they just turn right around and come on home.
Make them stay on the plane.
Yeah, like
they've got everything they need. They've got a bathroom. They've got chairs. They're fine.
Got bad food.
Yeah, they've got little. They've got little tinfoil with
some
fish
crackers.
In it.
Probably pretzels,
peanuts.
By the way, are nits what I think they are?
I have no idea.
Lice.
Yeah.
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 I believe that is the
everybody
the
doing.
Is that where picking nits comes from?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe that is. I believe that's a reference to lice.
So I don't know why it would have been like, hey, I don't mean to nitpick. No, please, if you have nits, pick them.
I insist you do that. Yeah. I'm going to need you to do that actually before we get on this plane.
23andMe genetic testing company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and they're courting bidders for their company. That means the DNA of millions of users is up for sale. I know out in California, they're telling people, hey, you need to go on there and delete your account, get rid of your data there. But that's just a law they have in California. I don't think it's true in every state.
Yeah.
And if you delete your data, they still have...
your DNA.
It's still there.
Your DNA.
Yeah. You don't think they dispose of that after a certain point?
I don't believe they have to. I don't know if they do or not, but I do not believe they are required to dispose of your DNA. That's always kind of been one of the...
Maybe I don't get it, or maybe I just don't plan on committing any crimes, but I don't care. Like, 23andMe has it. Ancestry has it. Like,
here you go. It says they will retain your genetic information, date of birth, and all that is required for compliance with applicable legal obligations, even if you choose to delete your account.
Interesting.
I think the deal is that, you know, health organizations and insurance companies would love to have that information.
Hmm.
Yeah, because it often shows like what you're predisposed to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know someone told me, I didn't go through this myself, but someone had said like they had applied for insurance. And, you know, you'll see some ads that say no need for a physical exam. It's because they have all of your medications. Like, they just have that.
Yeah.
So they can just tell, like, oh, like, for me, I'm on a crazy drug and I'm on a couple of statins. Like, they can look at that and go, like, I don't know, this guy seems crazy and he's got high cholesterol.
This guy's on three different kinds of handsome pills.
And all he clearly needs is two.
Man.
This is still not working.
He's a high achiever.
A plant-based diet could help you age in a healthy way. Researchers define healthy aging as making it to age 70 without major chronic disease. And diets high in fruits, veggies, and whole grains are linked to a higher likelihood of healthy aging.
Okay. I know that eating fast food every day is not healthy. I know that the Mediterranean diet is very healthy. But in between, I really feel like they really don't know. Like, when coffee will kill you, red wine will make you live forever, this, and this. I don't know. My mom lived to be 97. Like, just eating normal. I think so much is genetics. I think you can screw yourself you can be overweight and diabetes. But if you are pretty normal, I don't know that I'm going to sweat things like that.
And just random chance, too. I mean, you know, it wasn't whenever they talked to the 125-year-old woman or whatever, and she's like, six packs of cigarettes and a Dr. Pepper every day. It's like, that's not what kept you alive. Like, it's pure coincidence that you managed. Pure luck that you managed to be healthy until this point and somebody else didn't.
Pope Francis has returned to the Vatican after 5 weeks in the hospital. His doctors have said it will still take a lot of time for his body to heal fully. They've prescribed a further 2 months of rest at the Vatican and told him to avoid large or stressful meetings.
Surprising. Did you see that they came out? He had to say it was okay because it's his health information. But they said that there were a couple moments where they were really debating whether to take him off life support and just let him pass away.
Yeah, it was apparently pretty bad.
Hyundai is going to build a $5.8 billion steel plant in Louisiana. They announced this on Monday. And apparently this move was sparked by President Trump's threat of tariffs. That's what they're saying.
Hope it works.
Yeah. I mean, the plant is expected to bring 1,300 new jobs to the U.S. and serve as the foundation for a more self-reliant and secure automotive supply chain in the U.S. Love to see it. We'll do one more story here. Japan has awarded their longest serving death row inmate $1.4 million. Owayo Hakamada is 18 years old, and he spent 44 years on death row for a murder conviction that was later overturned.
Wow.
The court ordered the government to pay him 217 million yen for the wrongful conviction. He maintained his innocence that whole time. He consistently maintained his innocence and said he was coerced into confessing by police.
Chris Ranji's biggest fear.
It's one of my big fears.
Going to prison
too,
for something he didn't do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are way too many cases of that as well, of police like coercing people into confessing. Just because in a lot of cases, they just kind of want to be able to close the case and move on.
Yeah, I've never understood it personally. Like, if I was accused of killing one of you and I didn't do it, I don't think you could make me confess. But it happens enough that I think I just don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 351. There's a new conspiracy theory out there.
Oh?
Katy Perry.
I saw this.
Wait, what?
Katy Perry.
Is
JonBenet Ramsey. They hid her away. They faked her own death and created an international pop star.
Why?
I guess because they look alike.
Well, but one's like a little kid.
Rach, you got anything?
Well, JonBenet Ramsey is just like, that was all happening when I was that age, when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things I remember seeing on TV was the JonBenet Ramsey case. Katy Perry is a little older than that. I think she's 40 or close to 40. So right away, it's like,
doesn't add up.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. Well, it's a very silly
thing. Is she really that age?
Right, right.
Rachel?
Maybe she. But very rarely do women in show business lie and say they're older than they actually are.
Well, but if you're, oh my God, when you search this on Google, the first thing that comes up is a picture. Search Katy Perry. The first thing that comes up is JonBenet Ramsey's picture.
Told you.
Same here.
What the hell?
Googled JonBenet Ramsey and it's like Katy Perry acknowledged the conspiracy theory that she's JonBenet Ramsey. Just silly.
A man showed up at the emergency room with his girlfriend's hand stuck in his mouth.
Whoa.
They were trying to go viral to see if her hand would fit in his mouth, and it did, but then his jaw locked up.
That's gross.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know he was slobbering all over the place.
Just don't.
Oh, yeah.
That's just nasty. The drive there must have been so awkward.
Mm. This is why Trish accuses me of all the time. Boomer asking. When you ask a question just to talk about yourself. That was so humiliating. We were talking one time, and what did I say? I'm like,
childhood toys.
Yes. Hey, what were your three most treasured childhood possessions? And you can hear her doing this. She goes, oh, God. You're only asking me this so you can tell me yours. So just tell me yours and let's just cut to the chase. I was like, fiddly D, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even think of mine.
I was just testing out material for the show.
A common example is when you did something amazing over the weekend, you might show up on Monday and ask a coworker, do anything fun on Saturday? Well, listen to this.
Sometimes it's hard to shift out of show mode, though, when you're talking to other people.
Oh, dude. Do you have that?
Yes, I do. And, like, I'll be like, hey, Kurt, who do you think is the most attractive woman on this television show we're watching right now? And he'll be like, what do you mean attractive? Like, we taking it into personal? I'm like, no, dude, just say it. Or, like,
we're doing
like,
a show here, Kurt.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie, though.
What's your favorite type of candy bar? And he's like, well, what are we defining candy bar as? I'm like, oh, my God.
I'll speak for the guys.
The
being such a wheeler.
A lot of guys feel like they're being trapped by those questions.
Candy bar questions?
No, like related how women look. Because I don't know what the right answer is.
I will say, if my wife was like, who's the hottest girl on this TV show? I know the answer is you, Megan.
You're like that Nancy chick with the big boobs.
Yeah. See, I'm just curious. I'm like, I just want to see where your tastes are. Like, we're doing a thought experiment.
Guys,
here,
don't believe you, Rich.
He always turns it into like, there's so many qualifying questions that I just go like, you know what? Never mind. It's not fun anymore.
He's trying to avoid being in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're trying to do that. I'm just saying that's how guys see it.
Yeah. I've realized I'm always low-key doing a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm always yelling. What do you know?